Great. So first of all, so we'll double check your sound. Just tell me your name while Cameron spelled for me.
Sure. My name is Christopher Bolin. C-H-R-I-S-T-O-P-H-E-R. Bolin. B as in boy. O-L-L-Y-N.
Okay. And what is your title? Journalist, author, investigator? What would you like us to identify you as?
I'm a writer.
Okay.
I'm a writer. I have been a journalist, but currently I'm a writer.
How did the collapse of the towers become your sort of specialty, your niche?
My niche? We happened to be in New York on 9/11. We were passing through, coming down from Vermont, going back to my office in Washington. And when it happened, I called the office in Washington. I said, kamikazes are attacking the World Trade Center. And the newspaper in Washington didn't believe me. They thought I was joking. And then we couldn't go to Washington after what happened at the Pentagon. So we were forced to drive on the small roads through Pennsylvania back to Chicago.
And that's when the whole sort of thirst for understanding or knowledge began in terms of how the collapse happened.
Yes, and I have a background in studying these kinds of things. I was involved in the Estonian catastrophe in Europe, a shipwreck that killed 1,000 people, nearly 1,000 people in 1994. So I've looked at these kinds of mass disasters.
Okay. I want to stop for one second. Yeah. Keep it rolling. Don't stop the tape. I'm sorry, there's one piece of hair that is moving around.
It mostly faces this way, so you don't see it that much.
Oh, no, it's up here.
Can I fix it?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
It looks like a leaf.
He was born in the year of a rooster, so.
He's got
problems. Yeah, I have the same problems.
Yeah, most of the time he's sort of turning this way looking for it.
Now, which way should I look? Should I look at her?
Absolutely.
Look at her.
Absolutely.
Look at
that.
It's nice to look at her.
That's better, thank you. Okay.
And be light.
Well, you want a tight shot?
Light.
If you want me to
engage.
Move at all.
Yeah.
Well, that's all right.
Okay.
Okay.
Speed. Then okay. Stop.
Okay, great. So, all right. So, let's talk. When you explain what you believe 9/11 is, how do you qualify 9/11?
I call 9/11 an unsolved crime. An unsolved crime of monstrous proportions.
Why there has been so much written about 9/11, there have been reports, there has been a commission that came out with a number of conclusions as to what happened. Why do you believe there are still questions?
Because the reports don't address a lot of the key issues. For example, the government reports don't address the collapse of Building 7. The 47-story building that fell at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, 5:20 in the afternoon. And we're still waiting for the final report from NIST about that building.
All right.
Andy Strickland, please dial the operator. Andy Strickland, please dial the operator.
I may hear a little noise. I may hear, when this goes on, we do need to pause.
Sure,
okay?
Sure.
Or I'll re-ask the question. If you hear little noises out there, I'm very aware of what you're saying, and so
okay.
If I need to stop you, I will stop you.
Okay.
The only thing that's troublesome is that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So how you have looked at the official version of events, and what do you believe is incorrect about that version?
The official version fails to explain properly the collapses of the three towers. Towers 1 and 2, and Building 7. They have yet to explain what happened to Building 7, and their explanations for Buildings 1 and 2 are simply not adequate.
When we talk about, let me go back. Why do you think it's not adequate? They think that's the answer. Why do you think it's inadequate? What information do you have that you just feel is not conclusive?
There's a great deal of evidence that contradicts the official version. But most recently, let's look at the large amount of molten metal that poured off of the South Tower before it collapsed. From the east corner of Building 2, South Tower, we saw many tons of molten metal pouring off of the 81st floor. And the NIST report, for example, the final report that came out in 2005, fails to explain what this metal is or where it came from. And that's very important because this is the floor that Flight 175 went through. And the NIST report doesn't tell us what was on floors 81, 82, or 79. These are crucial floors.
Why do you think that would hold the key in terms of an explanation that this was a conspiracy?
Most importantly, one has to understand that buildings 1 and 2, also building 7, were held up by core columns. And the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center, the weight of these buildings were held up by the 47 core columns. And the fundamental mystery since 9/11 is what caused those core columns to fail. If those core columns didn't fail, the buildings wouldn't come down. And to this day, we don't have an explanation what caused them to fall.
And you feel that is not addressed in the NIST report. You're unhappy with the answer that they give.
No,
it's simply the way the building was designed, the fuel, the force of the impact. And they say, yes, it absolutely looks like a controlled demolition, but there's no evidence to suggest. The NIST report says, while it looks like a controlled demolition, there's no evidence to suggest that some sort of explosives contributed to that demolition itself.
Well, the NIST report doesn't deal with this very well at all because, for example, the molten metal that's seen pouring off of the 81st floor, many tons of it, this is explained in the NIST report as presumed to be aluminum. It's important because Professor Jones at BYU has looked at this question and said that it's not possible that this is aluminum because molten aluminum would look silver gray in daylight conditions. So this must be molten iron or another metal. And it's an extremely hot temperature. And so you have to explain where this molten metal came from.
All right. When we get down to the computer, I want you to show me those pictures that you're now going through. So let's look at it for that. I want to go to the... Okay, so if we... To follow through on your belief that this was a conspiracy, the conspiracy theorists sort of are broken up into two camps. Those who believe the government either let it happen or somehow caused it to happen. Where do you fall?
I wish I knew who did it. I don't know the players involved. So I can't speculate if the government let it happen or made it happen. But I can say that our government and our Department of Justice and the President and the Vice President did not give it the blue ribbon investigation it needed from the beginning. Both President Bush and Vice President Cheney said in 2001 that they did not want to give full attention to the collapse and the destruction of the World Trade Center because it would take away resources from the war in Afghanistan. I find that absolutely inexcusable.
Who had the most to gain from this attack on the United States?
If you look at the attack of 9/11 historically, it has all the hallmarks of what we call the new Pearl Harbor. And virtually every foreign war the United States has gotten into was precipitated by some calamitous disaster like Pearl Harbor. 9/11 is in my opinion, the modern day Pearl Harbor. And it was effective and it was used to sway public opinion to usher in the war on terror.
All right. So, given that it was such a cataclysmic event, sort of, again, who had the resources to pull it off?
It certainly required the resources of state-sponsored intelligence agencies. It was too big, involving airplanes, involving the pre-placement of explosives in the towers, which I think is there's evidence of, and the way that the story was spun, and the way that the non-investigation was conducted, certainly indicates that state players are involved.
Okay. Just so I'm clear on this, when you say pre-placement of explosives, where?
Well, I think the evidence is pretty clear that there were explosive charges.
Say that again. I saw you on fire. I'm shot. When you talk about pre-placement of explosives, where?
Specifically, I think the 81st floor of the South Tower, for example, As I said, the NIST report doesn't tell us what's on that floor, but somebody has come forward to me who worked at the Japanese bank and told me that floor was full of server-sized UPS batteries that were never plugged in. And we have to have an explanation of what produced the molten metal, the tons of molten metal. The NIST report gives us a blank. It doesn't tell us anything.
Have you approached Deutsche Bank to ask why those batteries were there on that day?
Yes, I contacted, it's now the Mizuho Bank. There was a merger of the three banks. Contacted them. I've contacted the company that was involved in the contracting of that floor. I contacted Leslie Robertson, who did the structural reinforcement of that floor in 1999. I've contacted all the players.
And what have they told you? What explanation have they given you?
Basically, Leslie Robertson said that I have to talk to the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey. But I know that it's a matter of record in the NIST report that the A-first floor was reinforced in 1999 in order to hold a very heavy load of UPS batteries. And my question is, why does the NIST report not tell us? Because this is the floor that the fuselage of Flight 175 went through. And this is the floor that we have these tremendous fires and where we see molten metal pouring off 10 minutes before the tower fell. So what was on the 81st and 82nd floor of the World Trade Center seems to be crucial to understanding the collapse of the tower.
Okay. And do you think then that suggests that the pilots of those planes knew exactly to hit the 81st floor? That seems a little bit impossible.
Yeah, well, you're raising a very important question. I believe those planes were drones and that they were... they acted like precision-guided missiles. I'm not at all sure that anybody was on those planes that hit the South Tower and the North Tower. And what's important to understand is that both planes struck directly into computer rooms, secure computer rooms. The 81st floor of the South Tower was a secure computer room belonging to Fuji Bank. And in the North Tower, the 95th floor was a secure computer room belonging to Marsh & McLennan. And so what I think is that both planes were remotely controlled, and at the last minute they were pulled into those towers by precision-guided systems.
So what happened to the people on those planes?
I have reason to believe that the actual planes with passengers landed elsewhere. And in the case of 175 and Flight 11, the evidence suggests that they landed at Stewart Airport, International Airport, because both planes converged over Stewart Airport prior to entering the metro New York area. And if we go by the Operation Northwood scenario, the passenger planes landed and military-style drones carried on the attack.
Do imaging systems, the FAA models, the logs, the sort of tracking of the flight plans, is there any evidence that bears that out?
Yes, there is. There's the air traffic controller noticed that both flights 175 and 11 converged seemingly into one blip on the computer screen over Stewart Air Force Base, former Stewart Air Force Base, which is today a privately owned airport in New York. And furthermore, Flight 93 was reported by Associated Press to have landed at Cleveland Hopkins Airport. So there is evidence to suggest that indeed the passenger planes involved that day landed at airports. And there's also evidence to indicate that Flight 175 and Flight 11, the planes that supposedly did hit towers, were not those planes.
And do you have any sense where the people might be?
No, I wish I did.
All right. I want to get back to... who did this? Who had the motives? You've written numerous articles. They have appeared on the website whose name I just completely blocked it. I'm sorry. I'm the witness. I apologize. You have written numerous articles that have appeared on the website I Am the Witness that say that the Zionists, the Jews, were somehow responsible, that they were behind this. Based on what do you make that conclusion?
I approach 9/11 as an unsolved crime. So I look at the evidence and draw my conclusions from the evidence. And there are indications, as there were indications early on, of Israeli involvement. Not Jewish involvement, Israeli involvement. And this was, I wrote about this in the very beginning when five young men were arrested in New Jersey, and they had been seen photographing the collapse or the attacks on the World Trade Center and ostensibly celebrating this attack. Paolo Lima from the Bergen Record followed up on this and reported that these men were actually Israelis. On the day of the attack, we all heard on the news that these were Middle Eastern men and the FBI had arrested them. It turned out that they were Israelis. And when they went back to Israel, these five men who worked for a fake moving company in Weehawken, in New Jersey, they went on an Israeli television show and said specifically, one of them said, "We come from a country where terrorism happens every day. We were there to document the event." In the case of a degree of prior knowledge. And in the case of 9/11, prior knowledge indicates involvement.
Do you think somehow the Israelis through Mossad orchestrated this attack?
I believe that there are Israeli elements that are connected to Mossad that are involved in this attack. Specifically, again, there's the